Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Kirsty, and this is the Art of Decluttering podcast, and welcome to our Christmas series. To give Amy and I a much-needed break after this incredible year, we are spending the next 5 Mondays replaying some of our favourite famous guest interviews for your listening pleasure. This week, we are replaying our chat with the amazing Peter Walsh of Oprah fame. His recent Aussie show Space Invaders is into its second season of production and will be on our screens again soon. In this episode, we can hear his heart for decluttering and how important it is to deeply understand people and yourself. We glean from his wisdom what changes happen in people's heads, hearts, and homes when they do the deep work of decluttering. And as always, there's so much more wisdom, gold, and love in this episode that we hope you enjoy. Welcome to the Art of Decluttering. I am Kirsty Farigia.
And I'm Amy Ravel.
And today we have a super special guest who is a huge leader in our professional organizing industry and a hero to us. You might know him from his days starring on The Oprah Show, or if you're Australian, from The Living Room. You might even have one or several of his books sitting on your bedside table. We have the pleasure of Peter Walsh joining us all the way from the US via quarantine hotel in Sydney. Welcome, 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 Peter.
Oh my God, that is the most ridiculous introduction I've ever heard in my life.
Thank you. That guy sounds amazing, doesn't he?
It's a very over-the-top introduction. Hero, I mean, for God's sake.
Oh, no, you are.
It's lovely to be here. Thank you. And given that I'm locked down at a hotel in Sydney and losing my mind, this could go horribly awry at any moment, but it is lovely to be here. Thank you, guys. Thrilled to be here, and thank you for having me on the top decluttering and organizing podcast in the universe. Great to be here.
I said to my 12-year-old just before, I said, I'm interviewing someone from the US that was absolutely fundamental in me becoming a professional organizer. Oh. He wanted to know if it was The Rock.
Was it your son or your daughter?
My son.
You tell your son he's one of the smartest guys I've ever heard of, and you should tell him no, it's nowhere near The Rock, although I do have biceps that are pretty much the same size.
Pretty sure that's the only US person he knows from voiceovers in cartoons.
And why not?
Peter, we're going to start with a question about you being a trailblazer in our industry. You really laid the groundwork for many of professional organizers and for us. How did you begin your career? Like, what did the professional organizing industry look like in Australia back then?
You know, it's an interesting question. And I came to professional organizing in a very weird way and a very unconventional way. I was never a professional organizer in Australia. I moved to the United States in 1994 after a career here in Australia as a teacher. I worked for the National Heart Foundation as an education director. I worked for the Alcohol and Drug Foundation as an education director. And so I had a career here in education, in drug abuse prevention, in health promotion. I worked for the Victorian Health Promotion Foundation. So I had, and I also worked in corporate training, in interpersonal skills training at the corporate level. So I tell you this because when I came to professional organizing, it was with a whole range of skills that were very much about interpersonal skills training, about risk reduction. And when I was in the United States, I went there to work in the area of corporate training and organizational change in corporations. And I was working in that area. I then worked for the dot-coms in the very early days, in the early 2000s for dot-coms. I was there when they crashed and burned. I was working at a managerial level. And then in very LA style, I was asked to audition for a television show for the Discovery Channel. And as you will not notice, but people in the United States notice, I have an accent in America. And an accent in America is a very noteworthy commodity. And I auditioned for this program as a professional organizer, and I got the job. And I didn't have a great deal of experience organizing at the residential level, but I had worked at the corporate level in organizing. And they're really, professional organizers weren't widely known, you know, in the domestic domain. Mm. And I was invited to audition for a television show called Clean Sweep, which was the first organizing show on American television. And I got this job, and they really didn't quite know exactly what the show would look like. And so suddenly, all of these skills in education, in corporate training, in interpersonal skills training, in risk reduction, in health promotion, suddenly all came together in a very unexpected way to play in helping people to declutter and organize their home. But I was really not so interested in the organizing of a closet or in the color coding of clothing as I was in what was going on behind the scenes.
Yes.
And the very, very show we did, and I think it illustrates what suddenly changed the direction of the program I was doing. The very first show I did was a family, a young couple who had two boys. They were 15 and 17. And the show was about the parents had in the master bedroom every single piece of baby clothing that those two boys had owned, had worn, including, you know, the cots, the bassinets, the toys. Oh. And the purpose of the show, we went in and the idea of the show, the brief, was to build storage units in the garage, cupboards and so on, that all of that baby clothing could be stored in. And I thought that
Madness.
Was... Exactly. I thought that was totally insane. But that was the brief of the show, the very first episode. So we took all of the clothing out of the master bedroom, and the very first question I asked the mother as we started to sort through these clothes was, let me ask you a question. Are your best memories with your boys in front of you or behind you? Are your best memories with your boys in front of you or behind you? And she started sobbing and stood up and ran away from me. And I, not having a huge amount of experience in TV, just said to the cameraman and the sound guy, let's chase her. So we jumped up and ran after her down the street. And I started to chat with her. And it turned out that she had always wanted another child.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And when she looked at those clothes, she saw her greatest value as a woman, as a mother, as a caregiver, represented in those clothes. And so this is where my concept of memory clutter came from. that when everyone else looked at those clothes, they represented old, useless, no longer kind of valuable clothing that kids hadn't worn for 15 years. But when she looked at them, she saw an absolutely iconic representation of her value as a woman, as a mother, and a caregiver. And as we chatted, it turned out that there was another woman in the street who was adopting children from China, babies from China. And I asked her, would she be happy with those clothes being given new life and new love by being given to another mother? And in a second, she said yes. And suddenly, we didn't have to build any new storage units, and all of those clothes passed to someone else. And suddenly, instead of this being a show about simply storing people's stuff, it became a show about what our stuff represents and why it is we struggle with letting go of stuff. So that show then, and that concept about what our stuff means, became iconic.
Yes.
In that very first organizing show. And I think also became iconic in a way for the organizing industry. And so I kind of fell into it in a way and feel very lucky to have been, you know, that's now 17 years ago. I remember at the time you'd say I'm a professional organizer and people would look at you like, you know, I'm a zebra without stripes.
Yes.
And now you say I'm a professional organizer and people say, oh, like Marie Kondo. And, you know, times have changed dramatically. And I don't know what the industry was like in Australia 17 years ago, but certainly in the United States 17 years ago, people didn't know what a professional organizer was. And that show really, I think, sparked it, and it's grown since then.
So how do you feel now when people think about professional organizers from an Instagram perspective and they think that we are there to make their house look pretty and not? Yeah, I'm glad you're rolling your eyes because that's how Amy and I feel too.
I think it's tough because I think that, people... We live in a world of images. We live in a world of, you know, impressions. And I think, you know, it's cyclical because, you know, for a long time people thought, professional organizers were glorified cleaners.
Yes.
You know, and why would you pay a professional organizer, you know, X amount of money to come in? So the thing about Instagram is that we live in an era of image and kind of instant gratification. And the thing is with it, it's cyclical, you know, with professional organizers, we went through the stage and I think we're still largely in it where we're viewed as glorified cleaners. You know, why should you pay a premium when essentially you're coming in to clean my house? You know, I should pay you the same as I pay a cleaner. What's the value you're bringing? And with Instagram, Instagram's not even real. I mean, the images aren't real. They're just not. None of it's real. And that's the frustrating thing. So, and professional organizers aren't providing the service that you see in the images that are posted on Instagram.
Absolutely.
And I think, you know, but Instagram's essentially a marketing tool. So the question is, you know, what is it that we are marketing? And are the people who are marketing themselves on Instagram providing the service that professional organizers supposedly market? You know, it's the same as, you know, weight loss clinics. Are the service they're providing the service that Instagram is showing? Probably not. Definitely.
I think, Peter, too, that the benchmark has been shifted a little bit. I think the benchmark used to be, certainly in the people that would contact us, it's like, are you going to make the house pretty, or are you just going to make me chuck all the stuff out? But once we talk to them and say, actually, that stuff will happen, but it's what happens in your heart and what happens in your head that will make the difference in your home. And as you said before, like we say to clients, don't be surprised when you cry during a session. And if they're thinking we're coming in like a cleaner, they're like, how? But when we come in and say, the clutter that you have, is that because you know, your marriage didn't turn out like you expected, or you didn't have the job you wanted, or financially things haven't been settled for you, like that stuff, I think when we change the benchmark to helping them in their head and in their heart, it really changes where people are aiming for, and then they don't expect, oh, I just want an insta-perfect house.
Yeah, you know, I think that perfection is one of the biggest and most dangerous things that people are striving for, you know, and it's the interest. One of the, you know, one of the really interesting things at the moment that is really occupying a lot of my thinking is trying to wade through some of the, like, I'm not a religious person at all, like not even remotely, but it, you know, it's interesting the use of the word covet. You know, in biblical terms, you know, in some of the Ten Commandments, you know, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's goods. You know, comparison is the death of happiness. Comparison, yes, is the death of happiness. And
preach, I think, it, brother.
And I think that you know, comparison is one of the biggest problems in people's acquisition of stuff. You know, they look at, And it's one of the tools of advertising. You know, what you have is good, but if you just buy this thing, it's great. So it's that constant yearning to get the next best thing. And if you just buy the right thing, you can acquire the life that you want. And it's fascinating that is what is really being taught in that one of the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's goods. That it's actually an incredibly old statement all the way back to the Ten Commandments, which is really saying happiness is, you know, comparison is the death of happiness. That's what it's saying when you break it down and analyze it. And it's, you know, I've always thought the Ten Commandments were kind of an antiquated, weird kind of, you know, Judeo-Christian construct. And here it is, I'm looking back at them and saying, wow, there really is some deep-seated wisdom there. And
Peter, can I ask you on that, why do you think we're not quick learners? Why do you think, even though intrinsically we know that buying bigger, better, more doesn't make us happy, we keep going back to it? What do you think's going on there?
Because the alternative is to look deep within ourselves and to analyze what's going on. Because the alternative is to ask ourselves questions that once we answer, we have to act on. That's the alternative. And that's, you know, that once you admit that you're chasing the next thing, you have to ask yourself, why am I chasing that? And the moment you answer that, you have to admit that you're yearning for something better. And the moment you answer that question, you have to do something about the answer, which is probably, there's something lacking in my life. And the moment you answer that question, it could well be my relationship, my self-esteem, my
value as a person, like, you know, what I think of myself and therefore projects on what I think other people think of me.
And once you answer that, the question is, what are you going to do about it? And it's much easier instead to say, I'll go and buy that couch because it'll make me happy, than to than to answer the question, well, you know, what am I going to do to build my self-esteem, or to, you know, to change who I am as a person, or to work on building, you know, building who I am to get myself to a better place. You know, the short term gratification is much easier to achieve than the longer term work to change something fundamental in me. I think that's why. I mean, you know, none of us want to admit that there's something flawed or fractured in us. And, you know, I think that's why, you know, that's why social media, that's why, you know, all of us gravitate to, you know, the falsity, the veneer of the veneer of kind of success that social media gives us. And yet we still pick up our phones and gravitate to it rather than spend time in silence or reflection, because the alternative is too tough to face.
We have an online course that we just started last night. This live round is started last night. And one of the first principles that we talk about is your value is inherent in who you are. And there's nothing that you can buy and nothing that you can get rid of that changes who you are as a human being that is loved and is worthy of love. And you can do nothing and you can take nothing away from it. And that's what I love about what you're saying, is that that's what we teach as well, is that we are made in a wonderful and amazing way. And we can't, we all need to learn that and accept that and realize that. And that can be a really great starting point to build that life and the freedom that you're dreaming of.
Yeah, it's interesting, it comes back to fundamental value, I think, which is in another way exactly what you're talking about. And, I'm often asked about, where do I place fundamental value? Because, I ask people to look at, what it is they value and to make choices about the stuff they own, the stuff they want to hold on to. And, often people will push me on that, particularly in interviews, when it gets to its ultimate, its ultimate conclusion or ultimate endpoint, what do you believe? In some ways, if you push beyond stuff to self-value and then beyond that to kind of a cosmic, I'm kind of way out here beyond even what you're asking in a way, cosmic value.
Yeah.
Do you believe in a God even? I don't believe in a God. I don't believe in life after death. I don't believe in any of that stuff. but what I do believe in is that, we come into existence with only two things. And those two things, I think, are very obvious. And one is love and one is the ability to reason. I mean, they're the only two things, the only two capacities that we have naturally as humans, the capacity to love and the capacity to reason. And I believe that somehow, somewhere we'll be judged on those two things. Judging is a weird word and doesn't really apply. So the question is, do you love unconditionally? I think that's the criteria we'll rise or fall on. And then reason, do you reason honestly without prejudice and without judgment? I think they're the two, I think that's what it all comes down to. And then, when it comes to the choices you make, do you love things that you have around you based on beauty and based on kind of a fundamental value in your life and reason, do you hold on to things because they support the fundamental values that you choose to have? I think it all comes down to that.
When I was probably 14 years old, before I even knew what professional organizing was, we had to study Schindler's List in English at school. Uh-huh. And I really only remember one scene, and it was when someone that was, I can't even remember the character, someone that was rich and important and had been effectively paying for the freedom for the Jewish people. And he looks down at his hand and sees a ring, and the thought that, whether he says it out loud or he thinks it, is, oh my goodness, I've kept a ring, but that could have bought freedom for people. Mm-hmm. And that, above everything else I learned at school, stuck with me. And then I think as we go into professional organizing, that it is that intrinsic value that we want people to understand, but also you're not going to look back at the end of your life and think, oh, I just wish I bought that couch, holiday house, yacht, watch, any of that. You're going to look back and think, oh, the people, that's the thing that's going to be important.
Yeah. It's interesting, it's not about the quantity of stuff. It's about the quality of relationships. I mean, I think it's a simple equation, and I think that's what it comes down to. And, I see all the time that, that people suddenly, I think it's very much part of my job that people chase, you know, the quantity of stuff rather than the quality of relationships. And I think the other thing that people get caught up into, and I talk about this frequently, is a conundrum that I pose as the product and the promise, that people buy products, but what they're really doing is investing in the promise. Mm-hmm. So for example, you know, they'll buy a treadmill, for example. It's a, you know, it's a classic example. That's the product they're buying. But the promise they're investing is that somehow if it is in their house, it will automatically generate fitness for them, you know.
And, it looks not a clothes dryer.
How damn you for taking my punchline.
Sorry.
But yeah, you're exactly right.
I've seen one too many.
Yeah, you know, exactly. We've all seen them. It looks great as a clothes horse in the bedroom.
Yeah.
You know, you invest in, you know, the pair of skinny jeans because that's the product. But the promise you're actually investing in is that somehow that you'll magically lose weight and be able to fit into them and you'll look sexy and attractive. And so that's why there are, you know, 10 sets of clothes in someone's closet still with the tags on them. And so we go in as professional organizers, we go into people's homes and they're full of products. But the bigger problem is that you open a closet or a kitchen or, you know, name the room.
Mm-hmm.
And the real thing that's going on is that all of those promises are scattered through the home and, you know, are piled in people's psyches in a way that is way more damaging than the products that are cluttered in closets or in kitchen cupboards or in bedrooms. And we have to first unravel the promises. Otherwise, once we drag the products out of the homes, the promises are still in there cluttering and they will be like magnets just attracting more products back into the homes.
But when they actually do that deep work and realize what the promise they're searching for and sometimes let that go, the things just fly out the door, don't they?
Absolutely.
Then all of a sudden the stuff means nothing.
Absolutely. Once you can help people to see the promise, the false promise that they have been chasing. And again, to go back to that religious analogy, which again, I completely refute and yet I find myself attracted to.
You're talking to two Christians, so you're fine.
You know, but you know, it's the false idol thing.
Yeah. Yes.
You know, which again, I absolutely refute and yet I'm in admiration of the symbolism of it, you know, that you shouldn't worship false idols. Here it is again, that this, you know, the analogy there and the ancient wisdom there is just gobsmacking that's what they're talking about, that the moment you put your faith into a false idol, which is exactly what we're talking about, the promise in a thing.
That's right. The promise is the idol, not the thing.
Thank you. That's exactly what's going on. And so you have to get the false idol out of the way before you can actually hope to deal with what is really going on. And I find, you know, I'd love to actually write, here I am now saying I want to write another book.
I told you when it happened, Peter.
But do you see that to be able to deal with that ancient symbolism that we find through all cultures and all religions, but we dismiss because of either our own religious beliefs or because we fail to think enough or dig deeply enough because we're all so shallow. But that ancient wisdom holds lessons for all of us.
Amy, it's nearly Christmas.
I feel like it was Christmas just yesterday, Kirst. 2020 has just blown my mind in terms of the speed of time. Have you started setting up Christmas yet?
No. I can't. I've got my head in the sand as far as Christmas is concerned. I haven't even started thinking about it, buying presents or doing anything to do with Christmas. Surely, I agree. It is only March 2020, although I do not want a repeat of this year.
No.
I want to go back through it.
Yes.
But what's, you don't have to be done, dear listeners.
I know. We are really excited. Our 12 Days of Christmas Declutter Challenge is back again for 2020. And if there's ever a year that you need a Christmas Declutter Challenge to kickstart you into the Christmas season, this is the year. It's an awesome course. This is the fourth year, I think, that we're running it. Kes, tell us what the listeners get when they join.
You get like 24 videos, don't you? Let me get this right. 24 videos, 12 are with Amy, and she goes through different parts of your house and different items that you can declutter, and then 12 are with me, and they're more Christmas orientated. So not only do you get to declutter in preparation, your house in preparation for Christmas, you also get to think about Christmas. So it's exciting, and there's loads of bonuses. There's Christmas wish lists and all these lots and lots of things all in this really cute little package called the 12 Days of Christmas Declutter Challenge.
And if you want to buy it as a gift for yourself, it's super inexpensive. It's just $27 and you get lifetime access to the course. In fact, someone came into our 2 million party the other day and said that the 12 Days of Christmas Declutter Challenge was the thing that started her on a journey to decluttering and has changed her life. I thought that was pretty incredible for a $27 course. You can do it at your own pace, which is awesome. The hacks in there for Christmas are just brilliant. You're absolutely going to love it. So, Kes, where do they go?
So head on over to our website, theartofdecluttering.com.au/Christmas, and you can sign up to the course there. We can't wait to hear how you go decluttering this Christmas.
Come and join us. It won't be the same without.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I love the ancient Hebrew wisdoms, particularly when it comes to relationships with stuff. Yeah. I can't get enough of it.
Yeah.
Peter, I remember reading, I'm sure it was the first edition of Let It Go. I borrowed it from my local library and I devoured it probably in like 24 hours. And that was the first time I went, oh, I could do this, because I'm naturally organized, but I didn't just want to show people how to label a box. Like, that wasn't my heart. Mm-hmm. And so you kind of opened this world of transformation and freedom. Kes, you've actually just started reading the second edition, haven't you?
I have. And I'm also devouring it. And I'm like going, wow, we didn't even realize that we were Peter Walsh's daughters.
Easy.
Well, we speak the same language as you, and I didn't realize just how much we spoke your language without.
Look, the thing is, it's not 90% common sense. You know, it really, you know, and I joke to people, you know, I taught kindergarten for a while, and I mean, so much of it is just, it's just, you know, what you teach kids in kindergarten. I mean, I honestly do not think to be pejorative, but just so much of it is just kind of basic.
It's not complex. It's simple, but it's not. In the same breath, it's not necessarily easy for people.
Absolutely not.
Which is why there's those of us that coach.
It's absolutely not simple. You know, people say to me, you know, how do I make sure that that once I get organized, stuff doesn't come back. And I say to people, I'll tell you the simplest thing. There are two mantras you need. One, don't put it down, put it away. Simplest thing in the world. Don't put it down. Well, it can't be that easy. Try it. And then
before you share the second,
yeah?
hold that thought, put a pin in it, because we have to tell you, our mantra is don't put it down, put it away.
Yeah.
So much so that our community have started writing don't put it down, put it away songs and sending them to us. So our community have heard them many times. So at the end of this interview, we're going to play some of them for you
I should be getting a commission on these, by the way.
Well, we went to our course community and told them that you were coming and to ask us some questions, like what questions, if they could sit down and have a cup of tea with you, what question would they ask? And one of them was, is he the originator of that saying or did he get it from somebody else?
No, that's mine. That's mine.
Okay. We are now giving you full credit for
full credit.
Our community think that it's us. Those of them who aren't your avid followers actually now think that it's us.
You can have
it. We came up with it.
You can have it. It's okay. It's okay. The second thing is no more later. That's the second thing. Stop.
Just do it now.
Stop using the word later. I'll put it down later.
Yep.
I'll wash it later. I'll fold it later. If you stop using, it can't be that hard. Try it. Stop
it really
using the word
simple.
Later. If you do those two things, the moment you start using the word later, you invite clutter back into your house. And so neither of those things is that difficult to say, but oh my God, they're really difficult to implement. And you'll catch yourself. And I've got people who say to me, damn you, I was about to put dishes. To put dishes in the sink. And I thought, fuck you.
Yes. We have people say, we have you in our heads now.
Yep. People say that to me too. And I even think it to myself, like the other night I was at home and I was going to bed and there were some dishes in the sink and I was like, I'll do them tomorrow. It's like, oh God, I got to do them now.
I'm a man of integrity.
Oh, really.
I better do it.
I'm a little nutty sometimes. So what the hell?
I love it. I think you're going to really enjoy these songs. One of them's even an animated children's version.
A couple of friends. In fact, as recently as yesterday morning, I actually have it right here. One of my closest friends in the United States. I don't need to find the actual text, but she sent me a long text message. She said, I've been working on it for some time. I should write a children's book about organizing and about keeping your stuff organized.
Yes.
So that might come out of this too.
I've been trying to convince my husband to write a decluttering children's book with me for probably 8-9 years because he's an illustrator. And I've been trying and he's too busy doing all these other things that he likes doing. So you do it. I'll let you do it, and then I'll just push it for you over in Australia.
It's a deal.
So we have many budding professional organisers who listen to us,
uh-huh.
And lots of professional organisers as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But what advice would you give to a budding professional organiser about starting in this industry?
Find another job.
It looks much more glorious than it actually is, doesn't it?
It's not an easy... It's a very, very difficult thing to get into. I mean, my advice would be start. Don't think that you can just jump into it and it's an easy thing to do because it's not. I've been very lucky and I'm not typical. I'm extremely atypical because I jumped in at the TV level. I became very well known very quickly and that the celebrity gave me a huge step up. And then I was on Oprah, which is like being touched by the golden wand. I was doing this show in the United States called Clean Sweep, which I'm not sure was ever shown on Australian TV. It became one of the most popular shows on cable in the States. It was a really fun fun, great show on Discovery, on the Learning Network, the Learning Channel in the States. One of Oprah's producers really liked the show and invited me on to do a small segment on the Oprah show. Mm. And that small segment went really well. And the small segment kind of blossomed when we're shooting the segment. It's a kind of an involved story, but the segment kind of, without any warning, blossomed into something much bigger as we were shooting it.
Mm.
And I was offered a contract on the Oprah show, much to my surprise. And I ended up getting a 5-year contract on the Oprah show. And you just can't imagine. It was just overnight, everything went totally crazy. And it was fun and super enjoyable. And it was great. I loved it. And she's so lovely. And we had a great time. And that, it was just.
As you said, that's atypical though, isn't it? Oh. Like Kirsty and I, like we've done morning sunrise, but that's about it.
We've done lots of A Current Affair too.
We have done lots.
It's just that, the goal of anyone in the United States who has any degree of, specialty, whether it's a chef or a designer or anything else, they hire publicists, and the one goal, at the time of the Oprah show was to get me on the Oprah show. That was a goal of anyone. Whereas I was invited on the Oprah show and suddenly had a 5-year contract. So, it was completely, completely unheard of. And so I already had a book contract through the TV show. So it was all, I'm not typical. So my advice to people wanting to get into the business is start it part-time. Don't give up your day job. Start it part-time. Find a good local professional organizer and, ask them to mentor you. Ask to work with them pro bono, so that you can get some skills and advice. Do some basic courses in communication skills, in active listening. Enroll yourself in professional organizer bodies so that you can, connect with other organizers in the area. Get some decent courses under your belt, online courses and so on. Speak to as many people as you can. Do information interviews with other professional organizers and kind of related kind of professions, and start with family and friends, if you don't know it, don't jump into areas that you don't know what you're doing.
Great advice. Know your limits, isn't it?
People are fragile, and don't mess in areas that you're out of your depth.
And
the thing is, you can be a professional organizer and just do basic helping people organize their garages. So get a niche, for example, go to Home Depot. Sorry, go to Bunnings. Sorry, very American. Very American.
We've got plenty of American listeners.
Go to a local, home improvement store, Bunnings, Home Depot, Lowe's, depending on where you live, and look at all the garage organizing stuff, for example, or look at all the laundry organizing stuff and get that niche, and then offer your services to be a laundry organizer and just do laundries, and don't worry about all the psychological stuff and all the, if that's what you'd like to do, if you're a bit of a handyman or a handywoman, start there rather than looking at, what you see on TV, the stuff that I might do, which is 17 years of experience helping people deal, with the psychic impact of too much stuff and dealing with, the impact that stuff has after, abuse or neglect or all of those other things that come into play once you start dealing with people's stuff.
That's right. Lots of people get into it thinking they're going to organise a pantry and put pretty labels on, but very quickly you realise you're actually dealing with people affected by trauma and so many complicating things. But they, you know, like we're there to help in that area
so,
as well.
So you don't have to get this. There's different levels you can get into. So, you know, maybe it is, you know, if you just want to get into organising kitchen cabinets, you can do that without getting up into that higher, more detailed level. But, you know, maybe choose a niche and start there, but get some experience with a professional organiser and see what you'd like to do.
Great advice.
Yeah.
What I really want to know, what goes
why
on?
Are you why are you whispering? This makes me...
I'm getting close to the microphone.
When a questioner starts whispering a question, I get extremely nervous.
I'm nervous too because I don't know what she's
going
to say.
Where are we going? What's the question?
We know that your heart for people is that deep, long-lasting change. So can you tell us what happens behind the scenes of some of the TV shows that you've been involved in? Like, do you have a team of professional organisers that come in alongside you? What's a real go?
Yes and no. Generally on TV shows, what happens is that it varies a little bit. There is always a team that help me get the stuff out of a room. So, for example, just to declutter a space, there is always a team that help with that because it's always so much stuff and I could never do that by myself. And whether that's on, you know, the Rachel Ray show or one of the other TV shows in the United States or on The Living Room here, the shows you've seen helping with that, there's always someone to help with getting it out and sorting that. There is always a team to help set that up in a hall or in a front yard, wherever that is. Here in Australia, there is an amazing professional organizer who works with me, Sarah Cotton.
Sarah, our friend, we love Sarah.
Who's just the best, who's the aunt's pants. She's fantastic
amazing.
And has always worked with me on The Living Room. I love her to death.
We love her too.
So she always helps me in kind of the sorting and so on. But I'm always there for all of that kind of intensive work with the couple. I'm very lucky in the United States, that's not the case. I don't have a backup person like Sarah in the United States, another professional organizer. That doesn't happen there. And in the United States, it's always me with the what we'd call the load in, there's always a team to help with I'm not a decorator, I'm not an interior designer. So there's always a team that helps with the setup of the rooms and all that stuff. I always have input into that in terms of helping, in terms of how the room looks terms of the choice of the organizing choices and kind of the mechanics of all that, the boxes or bins or whatever that we use in that space. In the United States, that's much more me. And I always kind of do the load in the United States, not so much here. I'm very lucky to have Sarah and the team who largely do that side of it here. I have a lot of input into the choices and we're much better staffed here. So there's a designer and Sarah, the professional organizer who handle much more of that on this side. And I could not do the job here without someone like a professional organizer.
One of the things that we've focused on a lot during the podcast and we see a lot of our clients who have mental health, we call them interruptions, but have lots of mental health diagnoses, and having a decluttered and organized home has that flow on effect that is truly transformational. We always say, you know, don't think that just by decluttering you can get off your meds or stop seeing your psych. How have you seen the mental health side of helping people to really experience that freedom play out?
I think it's extremely important that professional organisers don't dabble in the mental health area. I'm not a psychologist. I'm not a psychiatrist. I don't have training in the mental health area. And I'm extremely careful to make that very, very clear. And I think professional organisers have to be extremely careful not to start dabbling in areas they don't have training in. The comparison I give to the role that we play is like in olden times when grandma used to sit on the porch in her rocking chair and gave advice that was no bull when people asked her a question. That's the kind of people we should be. We don't mince words. If people ask us a straight question, we should give a straight answer, but in a trusting, non-judgmental, usually loving way. I think that's...
loving but truthful, I like that.
And I think that I have seen... I have seen amazing improvements in people's mood and immediately in terms of the outcome once a home has been decluttered and organized. I'll just give you a couple of examples. A very generic anecdotal example is that in 17 years, I've decluttered many, many homes where children, small children particularly, are involved. And in every single case, without exception, where I have decluttered a home, a room, where small children are involved, after that room has been decluttered and organized and those small children come back into the space, they begin to dance, without exception.
Yeah.
And I believe that's because instinctively there is something in children, in their innocence, that they can see and feel that that open space provides them with an opportunity, provides an opportunity for things to flow into that space. And you might think this is oogie boogie, and I don't care if you do.
No, because we see it as well, Peter. I love it.
And I think as adults, we've become hardened and cynical to that. But I think there's something really beautiful and simple and honest there. I've also decluttered spaces that are overwhelmed with stuff in homes where there are autistic children, and I've seen amazing changes in the behavior of autistic children where spaces are decluttered and simplified. And I have not, I've been trained as an educator. I've got an MEd in Ed Psych. And I have seen once a space is simplified, that the behavior and mood of autistic children has altered perceptively. And I believe that's because there are less competing visual cues for the autistic child in that space, that the visual cues and distractions have been dramatically simplified. And I think that helps the autistic child dramatically. And I've seen that many, many times. I think there's also a mounting body of evidence from the medical community that a cluttered, disorganized, messy space, particularly for women, causes a massive spike in cortisol, the hormone cortisol, and that causes massive problems in terms of sleep, in terms of eating disorders, in terms of heart problems.
Adrenal fatigue.
Yeah, it's all of those things. And so, you know, anecdotally, there was always a problem with that. We always saw there was a problem with clutter and mood, but we could never, ever nail that in terms of empirical evidence. But increasingly, the science is backing up. You know, I wrote a book 15 years ago called Does This Clutter Make My Butt Look Fat? Based on the anecdotal evidence, but I didn't have any science to support it. And that's why I wrote a book whose title I now forget.
Lose the clutter, lose the weight.
Lose the clutter, lose the weight. That, you know, used a control group and was based entirely on the science. Absolutely backs up that anecdotal evidence. So, you know, there's a ton of anecdotal evidence. There's a ton of in situ evidence based on you know, all of the work over 17 years. And now there's a huge amount of mounting scientific evidence that supports the fact. And without exception, when you help people declutter a space, they say, oh, my God, I feel lighter. I feel like a weight has been lifted from my shoulders. So
the same line every time, isn't it?
Every single time.
if people are interested in learning more about decluttering and autism, scroll back through our feed. We've got an episode where we interviewed Jess from Autism Treehouse in Queensland. So just scroll back through and you can dive a bit deeper into
that. Oh, that's awesome. I'm glad to hear you interviewed someone on that. I'll check that out myself. Thank you.
We try very hard not to speak on issues we don't know much about. So we love interviewing people that have way more experience in different fields.
There's one person you should really chat to who's very interesting is Dr. David Tolan. If you're interested in hoarding behavior, David has written a book called Buried in Treasures.
Which
is an awesome reference book. If anyone is dealing with particularly someone in their family or friend and they want to look at a real guidebook on how to approach them and how to deal with it, Buried in Treasures, Dr. David Tolan is a great reference.
Excellent. We'll put that in the show notes. I think maybe we also mentioned that in the episode where we interview Angela and Wendy, who specialize in hoarding disorder. So we'll put that in the show notes as well. Kirsty's madly writing because Kirsty does the show notes. Mm-hmm. She's just madly writing down notes. Peter, if people want to follow you on social, where is the best place
I'm on Instagram. I have a YouTube channel. You can easily check that out. And Facebook is kind of the place I'm contributing to most at the moment. And that's very easy. Yeah. www.facebook.com/Peter Walsh. Check me out there. And I answer. Excellent. By the way, I also answer all my own emails. And that's very easy. Just to my website, peterwalshdesign.com. Yes.
I've had quite a few little back and forths with you over the years. I think I sent you a copy of my book a while ago.
Was I polite?
But I was quite... You were very polite. Yes, you even told me that you read it. So that face tells me, of course, you did.
It was great. I loved the bit with the bit with the dinosaurs. That was so interesting.
Yes. I love it.
And the bit, I didn't expect the butler to have done it, though. That was such a twist.
I know. It was so weird. Those quotes from that Aussie guy living in LA, which, you know, amazing.
Great plot. Loved it.
Peter, it has been such a joy and honour to our show. We know that our listeners are going to be beside themselves when we drop this.
Loved it.
Thank you.
It was my pleasure. Absolutely my pleasure. Loved it, you guys. Wish you great success, and both personally and business-wise and in the podcast. It was a huge, huge amount of fun for me. Thank you so much.
See you guys next week.
Thanks for joining us.
If you've learnt something awesome today, we'd love you to leave us a review on iTunes or Facebook so others can find our podcast too.
Don't forget, you can see the show notes in your podcast app or over at our website, artofdecluttering.com.au. So if there's anything you want more info on, check it out there.
If you'd like to join our supporter community, you can do so over at patreon.com/theartofdecluttering.
We hope you have a great rest of your day
and enjoy the freedom. We acknowledge the traditional owners of country throughout Australia and recognise their continuing connection to land, waters and culture.
We pay our respects to their elders past, present and emerging.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.